chapter 3. Just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful to the Lord and continue to keep in mind also we're entering that time of the season where things are starting to pick back up. The ladies' Bible study will start back up on this Tuesday. Bread Breakers, a men's prayer group or prayer group, will meet during that time. They'll start back up on Tuesday. Faith Bible Institute will be starting back up this week on Tuesday, and we'll have an announcement for you on that at the end of the service today. So I'd encourage you, find a prayer meeting, find a Bible study, find somewhere that you can engage in and grow in the Lord and serve the Lord in and help you to grow in your faith in Christ. And thank any of the children for Children's Church. They're free to head out and one of the aisles and go be with the workers in Children's Church today. But in your Bible today, if you will, in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I encourage you to look in chapter 3. You know, when you think about the Bible, I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible and study it, I think the Bible, that it talks about the bride of Christ, which is the church. And when it talks about the church, it's talking about the local assembly, the local ecclesia. You go over and you read in the book of in the book of Revelation, it talks about Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Those are all local churches in Asia Minor that the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, was written about. The Apostle Paul, when he went on his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, he went on 3 missionary journeys and then the journey to Rome. It was all about the local church. And he would go into an area, many times going to the Jewish synagogue and preaching the gospel of Christ, and people would get saved and come to know Christ as their Savior, and he would form a local New Testament church in that area. He'd go to Thessalonica. He'd go to Berea. He first went to Antioch, and out of Antioch, then was sent, they established a local church there. And so the Bible teaches about the local church. Paul also went to Corinth. And here we're going to find in our text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the city of Corinth that Paul had a message that he was giving to the church at Corinth. I think it's a message that we can use and apply today to our lives. The Bible is a living, breathing document. And I would put a title on this today in 1 Corinthians 3 as Maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ. You know, when you and I get saved and come to Christ, I really believe that, you know, God never intends for you and I to stay a newborn babe in Christ very long. He intends for us to mature. He intends for us to grow. He intends for us to be nurtured. He intends for us to feast on the Word of God, to grow in our faith, and to fight off the challenges that we have. And so when you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is all about maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ, which I think we can glean from, and what he had to say to the church at Corinth. There's a lot of things we can apply today to the local New Testament church. Let me just say to you today, too, I think it's really important that we all understand that the church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. It is not dead, it is alive and well, but it also is based on local churches, and local churches all over the world have different DNA, different, you know, I think about the church at Thessalonica, the church at Berea, the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth, whether you take churches local right here today. So when you think about it here, think about the local church and what his message is to the church at Corinth. Here's what he says in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. Paul said, "And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said in verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are ye not carnal and walk as men? And while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, before we read on, I want to share with you there. I share with the congregation here recently, I think it was in a Wednesday night Bible study, talking about the local church and talking about the foundation of the church. Because I think many people get their theology wrong. They take the position theologically that the church started on the day of Pentecost. And I would argue that it did not start on the day of Pentecost. The church started in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the foundation of the church. And this verse proves that. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author, the foundation of the local New Testament church. The church was in existence before the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost says that, as Peter preached, that 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. So there were people that got saved on the day of Pentecost and added to the local New Testament church. So you have the foundation of Christ. Christ is our foundation. And built upon that are the apostles and others in the Bible that builds. But the foundation, my friend, keep in mind, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says now in verse 12 here, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And he wraps it up here by saying, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. If there's anything that the Apostle Paul wanted for the church at Corinth, is that they would mature in their faith, that they would no longer be babes in Christ, that they would grow in Christ. And so I think the same message is true in the church today. You know, it's interesting. I was looking at something the other day, and it was talking about the DNR, Department of Natural Resources here in the state of Michigan, and I was watching how they were releasing trout in certain trout streams here in the state of Michigan, and they were releasing little walleye and perch in that in different places, and I thought, oh, that'll be interesting to see as those grow, and it looks like great fishing days ahead with what they're doing there. You know, God always intends for you and I to be able to grow from that new birth experience of being born again in Christ, and to grow in our faith and not get caught up in the ways of the world, and not to hinder our growth, but to mature in the faith. Here, the Corinthian church, they struggled with that. They struggled with their discipleship. And discipleship really helps the Christian to fully develop into maturity. Christians who disciple others are usually involved in a four-step process. It's always about, number one, about evangelism. Evangelism should be really at the forethought of our hearts and minds, that when a person gets saved, the first thing that ought to go through your mind when you become a Christian is, I have family members. I have relatives, people that I know are not saved, and I want them to have what I have. So your mission field should be immediately, as a newborn convert in Christ, is to go after your loved ones, to go after your family, to go after your friends, to evangelize, to share the gospel. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know the Romans Road. I didn't know anything. But the first convert I won to Christ was 3 weeks after I got saved. I won one of my cousins to Christ, sitting in front of our garage in a lawn chair. His name was David. And I told him what had just happened to me. And I said, David, I want you to have what I have. And I laid out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just share your best sermon is your own testimony. Your best sermon is what God did in your heart and in your life. And if he can change your life, he can change somebody else's life. And so maturing in our faith, it always starts with evangelism. And then I think it always starts with a follow-up after that of getting in and learning the Bible, beginning to understand. And that's what the class First Steps is about in our church that Ron and Diana teach, is getting converts headed in the right direction. And then it's always about discipleship. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I had a hunger for the Bible. I got saved as a sophomore in high school, and I went to a Class A large public high school down in Mansfield, Ohio. And so I started to take my Bible with me to school. So while I had algebra and history and biology and all the other classes, anytime I had a chance, anytime I had a study hall, I had a Bible with me, and I was reading that and searching that and trying to learn and to grow in Christ. A hunger for the Word of God. And then really from there, it's just equipping the believer and multiplying yourself and others. So, when you think about it, it's not an assembly line to produce disciples, but there's markers along the way. Everyone travels through paths in their Christian life. And once we experience this new life in Christ, we need to follow up with the love and the nourishment, protection, direction, and all the helps that go along with that. Remember, God uniquely designs our growth experience, maturity in Christ. Here, the Corinthians, Paul was encouraging them to grow, not to remain carnal, not to get stuck in the old man's habits and the old habits. And remember, the old has passed away, and behold, all things become new. You begin to develop new habits in life and that. And so we find here, there's no magic formula to that. I would encourage everybody, number one, after you get saved, is stay in church. No matter what you got to do, stay in church. Don't quit going to church. That is your lifeline of being under the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Find a Bible study. Find a Sunday school class. Find a midweek Bible study. Find something along the way. Stay connected to the local church. The local church is designed and created by God for a purpose and a plan. It's designed for a purpose and a plan to mature believers, to grow their faith, to whether we realize it or not. When you and I come to church, we need each other. You need each other in the body of Christ. And that's why God the Holy Spirit has gifted the church with the gifts that he talks about here in Corinthians, because we all need in that body of Christ. So here in our text, there's three thoughts in mind that when we think of maturing that he kind of identifies. Remember that? Look in verse 2. He said here, Paul said, I have fed you with milk. Fed you with milk of the word. And start out with the very basics. You start out simple. You start out the growing steps. And then he went on to say here, for hitherto, he said, you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you're yet carnal. They were not ready. They had to take care of some things. You know what I see in the Corinthian church? That when a person gets saved and they begin to grow in Christ, they begin to mature in Christ, that God begins to change them from the inside out. You don't change from the outside in. You change from the inside out. First of all, God changes your heart. That as we make confession of faith in Christ in our heart changes. We're converted. We're born again, saved by the grace of God. And because your heart has changed, now your life will begin to change little by little by little along the way. You'll not remain carnal. You'll find here that you will go on to the meat of the word. I always kind of equate it to this. Nothing better, I think, than a good filet mignon. How many of you like a good filet? Oh, yeah. Man, I can taste it right now. But you know, when you get a baby, you don't take a newborn baby. You don't get a baby and feed them a filet. You got to take and you got to grow. You start out on the milk of the word and you got to learn and you begin to grow and you begin to mature. And then eventually you get to the meat of the word and you and I continue to grow on the deeper things of the word of God. And who's going to teach you those deeper things of the word of God is the precious Holy Spirit. Your best teacher, your best guide is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. But you're not going to grow like you need to grow or want to grow or should grow if you're not going to stay in your Bible. You've got to stay in your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to stay connected to the body of Christ, the church. I always think of the church as the body, the hub, and we all need to stay connected. I kind of think, you know, when I go to our camp in Michigan, matter of fact, Pastor Bud always razzes me all the time that if we're going to go to camp and we have a fireplace at Bethel, and if we're going to have a fire, I always think if you're going to have a fire, have a fire. Don't have some little spit, little sparky thing going on. If you're going to have a fire, have a fire. So I get a fire going, I stoke it up. I get the fire. We've even got it so warm in the rec hall up there at Bethel that we have a blazing fire going with the windows open to get some cool air coming back because it got too hot. But nothing better than a good fire. You know what I think of? I think of that. I think of taking one of those logs out of that fire. If I pull it out, red hot log, and I bring it over here and I lay it over here on the concrete, the fire over here is going to keep going, keep burning in red hot fire. But this log over here by itself will soon begin to die out. Why? Because it separates itself from the main body. And so as believers in Christ, the church, you need the church. You and I need the church more than the church needs us. And you think about that, you and I need that to be able to grow in Christ. And so you think about it here. His desire is to realize here what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. The cause of a lot of the problems they were having were mere external. They were influenced by the world. Here he calls it carnality. You know, it's very challenging because the world has a way to operate. And here the Bible calls it a carnal way to operate. And there needs to be a separation from what God's plan is and what is carnal. So he says here, notice that he worded that, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. The desire is to grow spiritually, to remove the carnality. The pressure of the world were combined with the weakness of the flesh. The carnal states, the carnal state prevents your spiritual growth. If you're going to choose to live in a carnal state or in some form of a worldly state, it's going to prevent your spiritual growth along the journey. Carnal means being controlled by the flesh. Carnal means every day that we get up, we got to crucify the flesh. We got to check ourselves and make sure that what we do today, we're living godly in Christ Jesus. If one is spiritual, then we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So the carnality of these believers here at Corinth was really their immaturity. You know, it'd be a sad thing to get saved, to come to Christ, to be born again, and then be content to stay as a newborn babe in Christ and not grow in your spiritual life and not to be able to grow and mature in your faith. In verse 2, he talks about here, I have fed you with milk. This refers to the more easily digestible truths of doctrine in the Bible, teaching in the Bible that are given to new believers. Solid food becomes the deeper features of the doctrine of Scripture. And the difference has to do with the degree of the depth. You need to move on. You need to understand then what justification is all about, what sanctification is all about, what your redemption about salvation is all about, the Bible doctrine of salvation. There's Bible doctrine after Bible doctrine after Bible doctrine, and we need to be grounded in our faith in that Bible doctrine. So spiritual maturity makes one unable to receive the richest of truths, and carnality produces within it. Here, according to Paul, produces envy or strifes or divisions. 1 Peter, and matter of fact, let me show it to you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 and show you this text of Scripture. And Peter kind of confirms what Paul was saying here in the Bible, and that is 1 Peter 2:2. And Peter worded it this way, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So when you bring a newborn babe at home, you know, you nurture them and they feed on the word of God and the milk. And so here Peter admonishes us to be able to grow on the milk of the word. But spiritual growth is always marked by a craving for and a delight in God's word with the same intensity that a baby craves milk. You ever see, it's always interesting, I just love to get around a baby, a newborn baby, and just the smell of the newborn baby, and their desire to eat. When they're hungry, I mean, they're going to let you know that they're hungry. And you ever see them when they're gone for a bottle, or if they're being breastfed or whatever, they're ready for milk. They're hungry. And so should it be for the believer in Christ. Spiritual growth is always marked by a craving for, a hunger for, a delight in God's Word with the same intensity that a baby craves milk. Hebrews chapter 5. Notice this, if you will. Go to Hebrews 5. Let me show you in verse 12. Hebrews 5. If we use milk, says here in Hebrews 5, you get down to verse, 12? For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, the Hebrews passage gives us an important thing for you and I to understand, that if you are not growing in Christ, if you are not maturing in Christ, if you are hanging on to your carnality or ways of the world or things of the world or whatever, it's going to hinder your growth. And not only that, but Hebrews says here, why we need to mature in our faith is to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Every day, every week, every year, we all make choices. You've now embarked on a new year. You're going to make thousands of choices this year. You've got to make sure the choices you make, the decisions you make, are wise and good choices, decisions, choices that you make that'll put you on the right path to spiritual maturity. Not carnality, not the ways of the world, not the thinking of the world, but to stay away from that. So it helps us to mature in Christ to be able to decide between good and evil. The mature Christian can discern between good and evil. Knowledge without obedience does not advance a person. You might have the knowledge, but if you don't have the obedience, you've got to obey the Word of God. So full age here in the Bible is translated, and when it talks about here, full age is translated perfection. This is a synonym for salvation, meaning the completion which comes when one becomes a believer in Christ. You and I are saved. Immediately when you get saved, your soul and your spirit is saved, but your body is not yet saved. The body still lives in this world. The flesh that you and I live in still lives in this worldly system. So we got to be really careful that we guard ourselves. We got to be really careful we make wise choices. We got to be really careful that we choose maturity and growing in Christ to be able to sort out the good and the evil and to make wise choices. We find here, matter of fact, let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Our text was in 1 Corinthians 3. But when you look in 1 Corinthians 10, he's saying there, Paul said this to the church, same congregation. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers went under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. How you're going to feast and how you're going to grow and how you're going to anchor yourself is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You anchor yourself in Christ. Don't be ignorant, he says. And this passage was given as an example that we can learn from. And because he says there, look at it in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And then, if you will, even down in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for an sample, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So things that are written in the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, things are in there in the Bible that we can learn from the lives of people, what they did, what they didn't do, what they did right, what they did wrong, that we can learn from, that we can glean from, that we can mature in our faith in Christ. Romans chapter 8, if you will. Turn back a few pages of that. Romans 8 tells you and I that we should not be carnally minded. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Notice what Paul said again. Notice the author, Paul, writing all these verses. Romans 8 and verse 6 and verse 7 says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is that enmity against God. Really means at hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you and I need to do all we can do to not be carnally minded, not to make unwise choices, not to make immature choices, and to mature in our faith, grow in our faith. And so when we think about maturity, I listed down that it comes, I think, in four steps, that it comes, and let me show you the first one here. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Is always evangelism. Evangelism. And just simply means the preaching of the gospel. If any man be in Christ. Notice here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, you and I are a work in progress, the old man, and God is working on us every day, day by day by day by day, week by week by week by week, year after year after year after year, God is working on us. We're not complete yet, and we're working on that day by day. So this is about the believer's redemption. He said, if any man be in Christ, so the believer, our security is in Christ. You know, this week, on Wednesday, I met with Roxanne and Smith and her family, and we had a short family service at Griffin Funeral Home for Mark. Mark's been a long time member at our church here, and Mark Smith. And then when we were done at Griffin Funeral Home, we traveled out to Glen Eden Cemetery on 8 Mile Road in Livonia, and we laid Mark to rest this week. He and Roxanne have been married 57 years. Found this interesting. They met in junior high school and dated in high school, didn't date anybody else. 3 years after high school, got married, been married 57 years. And then you lose a spouse. So needless to say, it's very difficult when you go through that process. But the important part of it is, you know, here's what's interesting. Mark has dementia. I asked Roxanne at the funeral home at Griffin on Wednesday morning, I said, how long do you think Mark had dementia that you're aware of? She said, perhaps even now looking back, perhaps even 6-7 years ago, the early signs of dementia. But the last 2 years has been a really ratcheted up, that really progressively continued to get worse, until where just this last year that she had to put him in a home because she could no longer care for him at home. And when it came right down to the wire, Mark got pneumonia, ended up in the hospital, and the Lord took him home to heaven. But even with dementia, and even though Mark didn't know who Roxanne was near the end, he talked about near at the end all the time about his God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that really caught my attention, that I thought, here's a man with dementia that doesn't even recognize his family on his deathbed, and he's talking about God, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In his faith. Mark was a Christian. Mark knew the Lord. And Mark, immediately upon taking that last breath, went to be with the Lord. And so you mature in your Christian faith. And so the believer's acceptance in Christ, with whom God alone is well pleased. The believer's future, our future assurance in Christ, who is the resurrection to eternal life and the sole guarantor of the believer's inheritance in heaven. We stood Wednesday by 11 o'clock at Glen Eden Cemetery. And I explained to the family and the children and the grandchildren are there that this is just a holding area. We're laying his body to rest. It'll be here for a short time. The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And there's a bodily, physical resurrection. And because of Mark's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to bodily, physically come out of the grave. He has matured in Christ. And now we wait on the resurrection day. So the believer's participation in the divine nature of Christ, the everlasting word. And so in new creation describes something that is created as qualitatively as new levels of excellent regeneration and the new birth. Mark was regenerated by the power of the gospel. The Bible says here, all things become new. The believer's new spiritual perception of everything is constantly reality and changing day by day in the Lord. Let me share with you, I think the second thing is that new Christians will now need, and that is follow-up. Everybody needs the connection. I don't know what it is for you, but for me, I was connected to the local New Testament church. And now my father got saved, my mother got saved, my sister got saved. I had aunts and uncles got saved in the family, and they began to connect. And that began my lifeline of growing in Christ and helping me there. I had a godly man, a godly deacon in the church that come up, and I went to high school with his three sons. And I knew they were the three of the orneriest, meanest boys at the high school. And that deacon come up, put his arm around me as a 16-year-old boy, and loved me and helped me and taught me and taught things of the Word of God. His name was Chuck Dilley, and had an influence. I thank God I go back during that time. My first Sunday school teacher was a chiropractor in Loudonville, Ohio, Dr. Harold Reinhart. Began to teach the Bible. He created within me that day, or those weeks during that time as a sophomore in high school, a hunger for the Bible, and he made it fun. And then Chuck Dilley had an influence. My uncles had an influence. My family began to have an influence, little by little, maturing in Christ. The first thing that we need to learn, you know, when you go through First Steps, Ron and Diana teach a class called First Steps, and it's going on right now, but they teach some basic lessons that every believer in here, we need it, especially new converts and especially new members. It talks about the assurance of our salvation. They teach a lesson on that. They teach a lesson on baptism, in which we just baptized this morning. I don't know about you, but I always look forward to the baptism. When a convert says that they're ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I remember mine like it was yesterday. I got baptized 2 weeks after I got saved. And then the importance of attending church. They go through that in the lesson, in the material. The importance of coming to church. And then the importance of prayer. The importance of Bible study. The importance of learning how to give, the importance of learning how to make disciples, the importance of spiritual gifts, learning what your gifts. You know, I think it's a tragedy, a person that is saved and they go through a long period of time, many times, maybe over a lifetime, and you still don't know or not using your spiritual gift that God has gifted you with. Why we need that is the church needs that, the body of needs that, is the gifts as the body of Christ to complement the work of the Lord and what he's given to us to do. Turn your Bible to Colossians, if you will, and chapter 2. Here's the third thought on this. The new Christian now becomes, in maturing in Christ, a growing believer. And here in Colossians, you need to put yourself on a trajectory of growth. In Colossians 2, and then verse 6, in verse 7 it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Here it is now, verse 7. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So the new Christian, the believer in Christ, don't remain a babe in Christ, but mature and grow in our faith. And here the goal is to keep on growing day by day by day, year by year by year. By that, some simple things to think about. You ought to have a daily devotion in your Bible. Make it short. If it's only 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. But have a devotion, just you and God, in the Word of God. A prayer life. Cultivate a prayer life. Just get alone somewhere by yourself. Go to your prayer closet. Go to your car. Go somewhere on your property, whatever. And just open your heart and talk to God. Have a prayer life. Talk to him. It's about a relationship. Cultivate a prayer life. Thirdly, witness and share your testimony. Every one of you, the best sermon you're ever going to preach is your own personal testimony of how you came to Christ. Use it, and use it wisely. And then, if you will, fourthly, I think, is learn to love lost people and to realize that there are people out there that you and I know that need the gospel, need the same Lord Jesus Christ that you and I know and have a relationship with. And then fifthly, start sharing your faith with others. You know, it may not be polished, and they may not have all the theology lined up or whatever, but just take the enthusiasm, take your heart, and begin to share the gospel with people you love and you care about. And share the gospel with others. We are to walk in Christ. This means living a life pattern after the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity develops upward from the foundation of biblical truth as taught and recorded by the apostles. And this, the Bible says here in Colossians, being rooted and grounded in the building, being established in sound Bible doctrine. And then the fourth and final thought is simply the fourth step of a maturing process of growing in Christ is living a multiplied life. Let me show you, and we'll go to 2 Timothy in your Bible, 2 Timothy 2:2. And he said, he says here, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy was to take the divine revelation that he had learned from the Apostle Paul and teach it to others, faithful men, men and women, proven, and that they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They would pass on those truths from one generation to another. You know, when you think about it, there are many generational leaders today that are no longer with us. We no longer, Billy Graham's gone to heaven. Jerry Falwell has gone to heaven. Adrian Rogers has gone to heaven. You can go right down the list time and time again. People, many people that we know in our generation have been anchors of the faith. Many have moved on to be with the Lord. So from Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others encompasses four generations of godly leaders that produces spiritual reproduction, begins in the early church and is continuing until the Lord returns. In other words, you've got something in your hands, in your life, in your heart that is so good and so valuable and so precious. Pass it on. Share it with somebody else. And you think about the spiritual disciplines and teaching Bible doctrines and making disciples and all the things that we can do. It's so important to realize the things and the opportunity we have maturing and growing our faith in Christ. It is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen over 1 year. It happens year after year after year. Never be satisfied with where you're at. I don't know about you, but I got saved at age 16. I'm 74. So I've been saved a few years. And every year is a new year to be able to learn more, to digest more of the Word of God, to understand more of the Bible that I thought I knew, but I'm learning more and more every day. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know what I thought I knew. There's more to learn. There's more to grow. There's more to feast upon the Word of God. Be sure to put yourself on the right pathway to maturity in Christ. Don't be content to stay where you're at as a babe in Christ. Let's pray.